appropriate, Mr. President, for your family to be doing business in Saudi Arabia while you're president? Is that a conflict of interest? And Your Royal Highness, the U.S. intelligence concluded that you orchestrated the brutal murder of a journalist. 9/11 families are furious that you are here in the Oval
Office.
Who
are you with?
Why should Americans trust
you? Who are
you
with?
And the same to you, Mr. President.
Now, who are you with?
I'm with ABC News, sir.
You're with who?
ABC News, sir.
Fake news. ABC fake news. One of the worst. One of the worst in the business. But I'll answer your question. I have nothing to do with the family business. I have left, and when I've devoted 100% of my energy. What my family does is fine. They do business all over. I decided to leave that success behind and make America very successful. And I've made America more successful by far than it ever was, and that it ever could have been, no matter who was president. There would be nobody bringing in $21 trillion, that I can tell you right now. As far as this gentleman is concerned, he's done a phenomenal job. You're mentioning somebody that was extremely controversial. A lot of people didn't like that gentleman that you're talking about. Whether you like him or didn't like him, things happen. But he knew nothing about it. And we can leave it at that. You don't have to embarrass our guest by asking a question like that.
This is my video update on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 19th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with three big news stories. Two of those news stories just arrived in my X feed a couple of hours ago. One of the big news stories was from yesterday, but let's start things off with the New York Times reporting that the Trump White House has signed off on some sort of a CIA operation, which is going to try and take out Maduro, try and remove Maduro from power. And this is breaking news. According to the NYT, the Trump White House, they have told the CIA to move forward with some sort of a special operation to remove Maduro. But at the same time, the New York Times is saying that Trump continues to engage in some sort of talks with Maduro. So he's engaging in talks with Maduro while approving the CIA's operation to remove Maduro. This is coming from the NYT, if you believe what the New York Times is reporting. That's breaking news. Story number one. Breaking news, story number two, which is really not so much breaking news, but big news from yesterday is the vote in Congress to pass the Epstein Transparency Act. That vote was unanimously passed by a big majority in the House. And it is going to be passed by a big majority in the Senate as well. This is what various media outlets are saying. When this act gets to the Senate, it will quickly be passed by the U.S. Senate. And then it will end up on Trump's desk, where he will either sign it or veto it. Vetoing the Epstein Transparency Act would be perhaps the biggest, the greatest political mistake ever in history for a U.S. president. He's not going to do it. He's going to sign it. And then we're going to get the access to the unclassified Epstein files. Unclassified Epstein files. And I imagine you are going to be seeing a whole lot of redactions as well to what will be released, but it's a first step. It's something, I guess. The New York Times says Senate agrees to quickly move bill seeking release of Epstein files to Trump. The Senate's action means the measure, which the House approved in a 427-1 vote, will be passed in the chamber on receipt. and be forwarded to the president's desk for his signature. 427-1. That's crazy, man. Good. Very good. At least we found something that the Uniparty, that the Democrats and Republicans absolutely agree on. Who was the one vote? Who was the one vote? Anyone knows who was vote one against the Epstein Transparency Act? 427-1. Yeah, Trump really messed up the whole Epstein thing. He really messed that one up. The narrative now from Trump is that he doesn't care. He said that the other day. I don't care about the whole Epstein thing, whatever. Sign it. Approve it, and I'll sign it, he says. I just don't care. I just want the Republicans to get back on point. And he was actually meeting with MBS, and he was asked about the Epstein Transparency Act. And he just started to rattle off the same names that he posted on Truth Social about people that were involved with Epstein, allegedly involved with Epstein, the Democrats that he says were involved with Epstein, who the press, who the media is not focusing on. That was Trump's complaint. You're not focusing on guys like Bill Clinton, he said, and Larry Summers and all of these people. He forgot some of the names as well, but that was his response to the media as he was sitting with the Saudi leader. Actually, Larry Summers, from what I understand, he is stepping down from his position on the board of, gosh, I want to say ChatGPT. I think he's on the board of ChatGPT. OpenAI, yeah, OpenAI, ChatGPT board after the release of the Epstein emails per the Associated Press. Yeah, so he's actually stepping down. So that's interesting. Larry Summers. I believe he wasn't he the guy at Harvard as well? He was in the Obama administration. Anyway, that is the update on Epstein. A big win for O'Connor, Massey, and Marjorie Taylor Greene. A very big win for those three. They took on Trump and they won, man. They took him on and they defeated Trump on this one, but we are going to get unclassified documents with a lot of redactions. So we are just at the very beginning of all of this. So the big news story, number three, is a report from Politico. One second. Here we go. From Politico, which says a peace deal as soon as this week in the conflict in Ukraine.
Yes. From news?
Yes, I am. I'm recording a video right now.
Awesome.
How are you?
Good, very good. I watch you every day.
Oh, cool.
And Alexander as well, you know.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Love your show.
You might, I don't know if the camera caught you, but you might be on here. Do you want me to no? All right.
Don't
All right,
worry
cool.
About it, man.
Where are you from?
It's complicated.
It's complicated, okay.
Oh.
Don't have to tell me.
No, French, American.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
Madrid at the moment.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Very nice. Very nice.
What's your name?
Thomas.
Thomas.
Yes.
Alex, nice to meet you. Thomas, good to meet you. Are you here visiting? You're living
yeah,
here?
For 2 days.
How do you like it?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love the food. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the food.
Oh, it's so good.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like
I love it. I love it.
I love great food.
But,
yeah.
But France, you say you're from France. France has great food,
yeah.
Too.
But you know,
some of the best restaurants in the world.
That's what people say. Well, I love Greek food, you know.
Yeah, Greek food is great.
Yeah, it is.
It is great. The tavernas and yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Really, really good. The Mediterranean diet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's how you live to 100 years. Right?
That is how you live to 100 years. I agree.
That's right.
I definitely agree. It is the best diet in the
yes.
World for me. But I'm biased. Excellent.
Is it in Crete?
Yeah.
Creta, right?
Yeah.
People live there for like... forever, right?
Well, close to forever.
Is the highest life expectancy.
Yeah, the
life?
Crete food is really good.
Oh, yeah.
The cuisine in Crete is incredible. There's actually a really good Crete restaurant if you go up that way.
Okay, you know the name?
Oh, God, I don't know the name. It's in, I'm trying to remember. It's by a cafe. It's right across the street from a cafe called... La Petite Fleur.
La Petite Fleur.
You will remember that.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Right across the street. It's very small.
I'll look it up. Yeah.
But it is super.
Awesome.
I definitely recommend
it.
Go there tonight. You will not regret it.
Awesome.
Great food. Great food from Crete.
Thank you so much. Thomas,
thank you so much. Okay. Take care. Enjoy. Back to the news. Enjoy your stay. How are things going in France, by the way? Everything good? Horrible.
France? No, everybody hates Macron.
I love Macron.
You love Macron?
No. They're not happy with Macron, no?
Oh, my gosh. He's hated, like, in a way that I don't think anybody ever was in France, ever.
You don't have to answer this if you don't want. But what's the people's thoughts on Le Pen and Mélenchon, and like what are the thoughts on the opposition? Are they excited, or is it just kind of what can we do?
Yeah, I think it's more to watch what can we do. I don't think there's that much excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And Le Pen is not the same Le Pen as you know her family
yeah,
was.
Her like, family, her father, yeah.
She's more like kind of neutral, and she's more like co-opted by the establishment. Which
yeah, okay. So there's not that excitement for the opposition either.
I don't think so, no.
But Macron is done.
There was nobody in the French landscape that would be like a new De Gaulle, you know, somebody like that. Like, France really needs somebody.
De Gaulle, I would take a Mitterrand or Chirac at this, I mean.
Chirac.
I'll take it. I will take it. I think the world would be very happy with a Chirac at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's no independence whatsoever at this point. And there was nobody even showing any sign of independence. Perhaps there was one guy, but nobody knows him. His name is Asselineau.
Asselineau. François, okay.
But he's like he's invisible in the media. Nobody talks about him, you know. He's good, but nobody knows him. So he gets like 1% of the vote.
Because the media shuts him out.
And he's the only one who is like very much anti-Euro, as in we should be getting out of the Eurozone, you know.
I agree.
And maybe that's why nobody wants to talk about him.
Get out of the Euro and let's see a strong France return to the world.
I know, right?
That's what we all want.
Right.
Fantastic. Right. All right. I think everyone's going to value your opinion. Thank you so much. And enjoy your stay.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alex.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Take care. All right, cool. So there you heard it. What is happening in France, on the ground in France, with Macron and Le Pen. And the situation, everyone is sick of Macron. Everyone wants him gone. Yep. I agree with that. Definitely. So, what was I saying? The piece in Ukraine, news story from Politico. In this week, we could have peace in Ukraine, according to a very trusted news source. Axios actually is also reporting that Russia and the United States are indeed working on some sort of a peace plan, a negotiation, a return to a negotiation, and then some sort of a peace plan. And according to Politico, it's modeled after Trump's 20-point Gaza peace plan. That's what they're saying. And they're sourcing a lot of the information that they're getting from Dmitriev. He's mentioned a lot in this Axios article. The article actually has the title, U.S. Secretly Drafting New Plan to End Ukraine War. Scoop. It's a scoop. It is a scoop. And Axios is saying that Russia and the United States are working to get some sort of a deal in Ukraine. It's based on four key points. Let me see if I have those points highlighted. The plan's 28 points. The 28-point plan. Gaza was a 20-point plan. This is a 28-point plan. I like it. Making 28. I like it a lot. Anyway, it's 28 points. And it falls into four general buckets, sources tell Axios. Peace in Ukraine, security guarantees, security in Europe, and future U.S. relations with Russia and Ukraine. So those are the four buckets. Dmitriev said in this article, he mentioned in this article that one of the big stumbling blocks is the Europeans and and Ukraine not taking Russia's benefits into consideration. That's what Dmitriev said. One second. Friction point. Dmitriev said this effort was entirely unrelated to the UK-led push to draft a Gaza-style peace plan for Ukraine, which he said had no chance of success because it disregards Russia's positions. The Russian envoy said the U.S. side was now in the process of explaining the benefits of its current approach to the Ukrainians and the Europeans. It's happening with the background of Russia definitely having additional successes on the battlefield, he added, contending Moscow's leverage is growing. Big success on the front lines, no doubt about that, and also the big corruption scandal in Ukraine, where we are getting reports that Alibaba, Andrei Yermak, may be fired by the Green Goblin. The Green Goblin may be firing Alibaba. Hey, Mr. Alibaba, I have to fire you. Podolyak. Give Alibaba his papers. He's gone. He's Audi 5000. Yeah, that is what they're saying, man. Yermak may have to be fired by Zelensky. That's how much pressure Zelensky is under. You know, if he loses Yermak, he's very exposed, because Yermak was his protection, especially against all of the Banderite forces, right? I mean, Yermak was his bodyguard, man. That was the guy that protected Zelensky from everybody. Some people claim that Yermak isolated Zelensky, and he wasn't even getting proper information as to what's going on. That's what some media reports about Yermak's relationship with Zelensky. But getting rid of Yermak, oh boy, is that going to create a whole lot of chaos for the Kiev-Zelensky government. Yeah, that's going to be the beginning of the end for Zelensky if he has to get rid of Yermak. He's going to be very, very exposed. But look, Axios is saying that a plan is being drafted, 28-point plan. We'll see what, we'll see how Russia reacts to this latest drive by the Trump White House to get to some sort of a deal. Right, we'll see if Russia sticks, if Putin sticks to Istanbul Plus, right? Is he going to stick to Istanbul Plus, or is Putin going to ask for more? Things have changed on the front lines. They've changed a lot, so Putin just might say, you know what, Istanbul Plus said this. Well, now we want this, right? We want more. It's possible, but I don't think so. I think that it will stay with Istanbul Plus if this reporting is true. And Axios is saying a deal this week. Politico is saying a deal this week. Axios is saying that Witkoff is going to be trying to get Zelensky on board, right? Zelensky's in Turkey. He arrived in Turkey. And you know who was waiting for Zelensky at the airport? Umerov. Umerov was waiting for Zelensky when he arrived in Turkey, a clean-shaven Umerov. He was there as Zelensky arrived, and he shaved off his beard. Rumors were that he was in the United States trying to get away from the corruption scandal, trying to escape the corruption scandal, which reports claim he's definitely implicated. And I don't know what happened. I guess the three-letter agencies, they told Umerov, come on, man, shaving off the beard, putting on some sunglasses, a baseball cap, that's not going to help you disappear. You're going to get back on that plane, and you're going to go to Turkey, and we're going to try and get a conflict freeze in Ukraine so that we don't take a big L in this proxy war, because that is what all of this this recent talk, this activity that's going on to get a deal in Ukraine. That's what this is all about. The Trump White House wants to avoid taking a big loss in Ukraine. Trump can then spin it as his ninth conflict resolution. He can say that as well. And what they're going to try to push for is a ceasefire freeze. What Russia is going to stick to is root causes. Actually, Dmitriev even mentioned in the Axios article that Russia Russia wants its interests addressed in any kind of negotiations. It remains firm on root causes June 2024. So, I mean, that's the gap, right? The Trump White House, they're talking about a ceasefire, which is code for freeze. And Russia does not change its position. Why should it? It's winning. Root causes, June 2024, Istanbul plus. So that's the situation, you know. Zelensky in Turkey, Umerov, who was on the run but is now in Turkey as well, to greet the Green Goblin. Witkoff also in Turkey. There are reports that military advisors from the United States are also in Turkey. I believe in Turkey or in Kiev, actually. I think the report says that they're in Kiev, U.S. military advisors. And the reason that they're in Kiev is because they are trying to push the Ukraine military officials to accept this 28-point plan, whatever it is. And then the reports are that these American military officials are going to make their way to Moscow. That's interesting. That's where we are, man. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff going on. And all of this is because of what is happening on the front lines. That's what all of this is about. That's what I said yesterday. Basically, all this reporting confirms exactly what I said yesterday. Pretty much exactly what I said yesterday, which is the situation on the front line has finally pushed the Trump administration to try and give a ceasefire, a resolution, try and give it one more go. I say ceasefire. Russia wants core interests addressed, root causes. But look, the Trump White House, it thought, I've said this many times, it thought after Alaska that they were actually winning on the front lines. That was the information that Zelensky was feeding to Trump's advisors, and Trump believed it. So he walked away from all of the progress made in Alaska. And over the past month, it's been impossible to hide the fact that Russia is winning big on the front line. The front line is completely collapsing. The big question is whether Putin will show flexibility or if he is going to remain absolutely firm with Istanbul Plus. Not only that, if he is going to ask for more than Istanbul Plus. I think that's the big question, right? They're going to negotiate now, or they are negotiating now. I wonder if Putin is saying, you know what? That deal was then. That's the deal that we had on the table in Alaska, and you guys balked at it. U.S., you walked away from it. Things have changed on the front line, as you can see, and we are going to capture all of Donetsk very soon. So we need to amend what was agreed on in Alaska. And then, how do you sell this to the Europeans? Right? How do you sell this to the Europeans and to Zelensky? Well, with Zelensky, you don't really need to sell it to Zelensky. You just get Nabu to keep the pressure on Zelensky and his clique of script writers and producers. Anyway, Poland is trying to get something going, some sort of false flag, something going with Russia and Ukraine and Europe and Russia. And this has to do with the whole railway sabotage incident, right? I haven't talked about this yet, but I'm going to talk about this right now because we do have some developments with this railway sabotage. And it's no coincidence that this railway sabotage, if you want to call it that, let's call it that, a railway sabotage. It's no coincidence that all of this is happening at the time when you do have a restart of the talks between the U.S. and Russia, at a time when the entire front line is collapsing, and at a time where the Trump White House is saying, oh, crap, we really had the whole military situation in Ukraine, we had it all wrong. We really are losing, and we're losing big. So what do you get? You get the Europeans coming up with, or Poland coming up with, a railway sabotage. What happened here? From my understanding of things, they noticed that some of the tracks in the railway system were being messed around with. There was some sort of an explosion, not as a train was passing or anything like that. They just noticed that some of the tracks had been damaged, and then investigators decided to look into it, and they did their investigation, and they came to the conclusion that there was some sort of explosion with these tracks. I mean, I look at the photo that they've published, and I don't quite understand what exactly happened. You can see the two or three rail tracks right there, and the rocks and the gravel, but it's hard to understand what exactly happened there. They say it was some sort of an explosion. Thankfully, thank God, there was no train passing over this part of the railroad when this alleged explosion happened. But the investigators came in. Even Donald Tusk paid a visit to this area, so he could also inspect what was happening. Let me get out of here. These parakeets are pretty loud. They are singing. They are singing. Boy, oh boy. Anyway, the investigators, they came to the conclusion that there was some sort of a sabotage. And then 24 hours later, they came to the conclusion that it was Ukrainians who were working for Russian secret services, who then fled to Belarus. That's the story that they are giving us. And Donald Tusk, he posted on X, as a result of the investigation, we now know it was the Russian secret services that commissioned the blast of the Polish railway and recruited two Ukrainians to do it. We also know the identities of the perpetrators who immediately fled Poland for Belarus. So Poland is now demanding that Belarus extradite these two Ukrainians, which I find to be interesting, ironic, very ironic. Isn't it ironic, don't you think? It's like rain on a wedding day, right? Isn't it ironic? Yeah, it's ironic because Poland is demanding Belarus extradite these two Ukrainians that were recruited by Russia. That's the story that they're coming to us with. Two Ukrainians recruited by Russian secret services to sabotage the railway system, who then fled to Belarus, right? That's the story. And Belarus is demanding the extradition of these two Ukrainians. And it was Poland that refused to extradite one of the suspects in the Nord Stream sabotage. Just in October, right? The judge in Poland ruled that this person should not be extradited to Germany as a suspect in the Nord Stream pipeline sabotage. And now Poland is demanding that these two guys are extradited to Poland, if this story is to be believed, of course. If all of this is to be believed. It took Poland just 24 hours to figure all of this out. According to Tusk, they even know who these guys are, right? They even know who these guys are. They know their names. They know everything about these guys. They know their names. They know their homes, their home address. They know their hobbies. They know their dating preferences. They know it all in just 24 hours. Nord Stream, 4 years. We still don't have a clue. Gilligan, Andromeda, some yacht. We have no idea what happened with Nord Stream 4 years later. No clue. But this railway incident, 24 hours, we know exactly who did it. And it's connected to Russia. Probably true. Probably all true. Definitely all true. Definitely all of it is true. In which case, Belarus needs to extradite these two guys, right? And Poland needs to extradite their one guy, right? Right. So, MBS at the White House, or should we talk about Zelensky in Spain? MBS at the White House or Zelensky in Spain? Let's talk about Zelensky in Spain, and then we'll talk about MBS at the White House. So, Zelensky, he is on his Europe road trip. Podolyak, pack the bags. We go on road yesterday, right? Corruption, frontline collapse, road trip, road trip. Yeah, so now he's in Spain, Greece, France. Well, he was in Spain, sorry. Greece, France, Spain, Turkey. But in Spain, he was promised more money and more weapons. A lot more money and a lot more weapons by the Sanchez government. Spain rolls out $946 million Ukraine aid package during Zelensky's visit. And he's going to get all kinds of military equipment. He signed a 10-year bilateral security and defense agreement. And what else? There's all kinds of gnats. You guys know the gnats? When I used to live in the United States, in Virginia, the gnats were everywhere. They're all over the place here. Let's move out of here. So as part of the package, Spain will purchase U.S. military equipment with 100 million euros under NATO's Prioritize Ukraine requirements list. Spanish Prime Minister Sanchez told the joint news conference it includes 200 million euros in credit for companies investing in the reconstruction of Ukraine, with a particular focus on energy, transport, and water management. Yeah, basically, Zelensky is going around Europe and he's signing all kinds of deals with the Europeans to purchase weapons that they can't possibly make, to build a massive air force, 100 Rafales, 150 Gripens, close to a billion from Spain, purchasing more military equipment from Spain. This is all theater, man. It's all freaking theater. You know, everyone is just trying to get as many deals signed before the whole thing just collapses. That's what I think is going on here. Get as many deals for the MIC signed before the whole thing just falls apart. Yep, that's what it's all about. Have you ever seen so many parakeets in your life? Look at all of them. Beautiful. All right, yeah. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the MIC actually told Zelensky, you're going on a road trip, right? Your whole thing is crumbling. Everything is crumbling, man. Zelensky, pack your bags, tell Podolyak to go with you, and you guys are going on a road trip, and we're going to sign as many contracts as we possibly can before everything falls apart. Yeah, that's what's going on here. And all of these deals are just, this is just all fiction, man. It's all fiction, all of it. Ukraine's Air Force is going to be mad. If any of this was true, they would have a massive Air Force. Alexander, in his video update yesterday, he said that if all of this is to be believed, like 250 aircraft, if all of this is to be believed, then Ukraine's Air Force would be like the third biggest Air Force in the world. It'll be more powerful than Russia's Air Force, if you are to believe any of this, which is ridiculous, right? It's a last money grab, last chance to get more money. That's what this is all about. So that's an update on Spain. And MBS in the White House, MBS hanging out with Trump. MBS promising $1 trillion in investment to the Trump White House, to the United States. $1 trillion. And Trump said that he's brought in 21 trillion or 28 trillion. What's the number? I think it's 21 trillion that he's talking about, right? He is saying 21 trillion is what he has brought in. You know, it reminds me of Zelensky's weapons deals. This 21 trillion, doesn't it, in a way, right? I was thinking about this yesterday. You know, Zelensky's signing all of these big deals, hundreds and hundreds of planes and all this military equipment. And these are all deals 10 years out or 15 years out. None of it's gonna happen, right? Letters of intent, whatever, security, bilateral security deals with Spain. None of it's gonna happen. And in a way, you have Trump kinda doing the same thing, don't you? Quick. You know, Trump is talking about a trillion here, a trillion from Saudi Arabia, 500 million from Switzerland, $1.4 trillion from the EU, and it's all added up to 21 trillion. But it just doesn't feel real, you know? 500 million from Japan, a trillion from South Korea, whatever. He's just throwing out these huge numbers. And no one even really knows what exactly all this money is going towards, right? They're talking about building factories and warehouses and AI this and AI that and chips. MBS was talking about chips or something like that. Anyway, maybe it's real. Maybe Trump is bringing in 21 trillion. Maybe he's going to bring in 38 trillion when all is said and done, and he's going to wipe out the entirety of the U.S. debt. Maybe. I don't know. It just really does remind me of what we're seeing with Zelensky as well. They're all throwing out these big numbers, really, really big numbers. Whatever happened to the big mineral deal that the U.S. signed with Ukraine? Whatever happened to the mineral deal that the U.K. signed with Ukraine? What happened to all of the bilateral deals that were signed with Ukraine, right? All these countries that signed bilateral security deals with Ukraine. Whatever happened to any of that stuff, man? Nothing. Everyone's just forgotten about all that stuff. So, the Telegraph. The Telegraph has turned on the Green Goblin. It's a sad day, folks. It's a sad day. The Telegraph has turned on the Green Goblin. Owen Matthews. Zelensky is losing touch with reality. Signing fantasy arms deals Ukraine cannot afford is no answer to the looming political and military crisis. Fantasy arms deals. Yeah, exactly. So the Netherlands is handing back Nexperia to China. Talk about taking a big L, man. Man, the Netherlands took one of the biggest gigantic L's in all of history with this one. Boy, they've now handed it all back to China. This is according to Bloomberg, by the way. The whole Nexperia thing was one big debacle. The United States told them to seize Nexperia. The Netherlands said, okay, we'll seize Nexperia. They seized Nexperia. They kicked out the CEO. They kicked out the board. They forgot that the production of the chips was done in China. And China says, okay, you want to play that game? No problem. Export controls on Nexperia's chips. We will bring the collective West automotive industry to a grinding halt. And that is exactly what happened. And then Trump meets with Xi in South Korea. And he gets rid of the 50% rule, which was one of the reasons that the Netherlands cited in seizing Nexperia. And the Netherlands was just left out to dry. They just were left to hang out and dry, or whatever the expression is, right? And so now they're walking everything back. Hung out to dry. And they're walking the whole thing back, and now they're just telling China, just take the whole company, man. Just take it all back. And can we just be friends again? Right? China's not going to forget this. And what did the Netherlands gain from any of this? Nothing. They lost so much. They got absolutely nothing. And my question remains, and I've said this in the past, is anyone going to be fired over this in the Netherlands? Is anyone going to be held accountable for this huge, massive debacle? I don't think so. Let's do some clown worlds and we can wrap up today's video. The first clown world is courtesy of Miro Tvorets. I cannot confirm this, but I have seen the screenshots. This could be AI. This could be fake screenshots. Keep that in mind. So everything that I'm saying could be fake and fake news, but I've seen these screenshots pop up in a couple of different sources, a couple of different feeds. And the claim is that Angelina Jolie has been placed on the Miro Tvorets website. I cannot think why they would put her on the Miro Tvorets, but if these screenshots are real, and they may not be real, but if they are, well, she's landed a spot on Ukraine's Miro Tvorets. And one more clown world, maybe two more clown worlds. This video is running a bit long, but, you know, why not? The person of the year, according to Time magazine, or at least who is in the lead for Person of the Year, is looking like it's going to be AI. This is not done yet. It's not done that AI is going to be the Person of the Year, but it is looking like AI will be named Time Magazine's Person of the Year, or Unperson of the Year. AI. Yep. Way back in the 80s, the Person of the Year was the computer. Remember that? It was the personal computer. And now it looks like it'll be AI. Once again, it's not done. The Person of the Year is not complete, but it wouldn't surprise me if it does turn out to be AI. It will either be AI or Maria Corina Machado. Right? One of the two. Either AI or the Nobel Peace Prize winner. Maybe Trump, who knows? I like it. I like it. I didn't get the Nobel Peace Prize, but I'm Person of the Year. I solved 9 conflicts, 9, including Ukraine. And should we do one more? We are under attack. Italian defense minister accuses Russia of waging a hybrid war. Yes, the defense minister of Italy is claiming that his country is under attack, that all of Europe is under attack by Russia. The hybrid war is continual and attacks critical infrastructure, decision-making centers, essential services, and the fabric of each country with daily and growing risks of catastrophic damage, he wrote in the paper titled Countering Hybrid Warfare and Active Strategy. We are under attack and the hybrid bombs continue to fall. The time to act is now. It is absurd and unsustainable that the West is doing so little to react to Russian attacks, Crosetto wrote. If we were invaded by a land army, we would not simply barricade ourselves at home, hoping they would go away. Go away, go away, run away, run away. So, the Italian defense minister, he's just looking to get in on some of the final action, the final washing machine action, right? They're just all, everyone now is just scrambling to get their piece of whatever's left of the pie, right? Whatever's left on the table, whatever crumbs everyone can get their hands on. That's what you're seeing happening here. So the Italian defense minister writes his paper and says, we're under hybrid attack by the Russians. More money, quick, more money. give me weapons. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. Like, subscribe to this this channel if you want. Share this video if you want. And Rumble, what else? Durant.locals, Rumble, Telegram, X, Durant Shop. All the links are in the description box down below. Take care.